Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, for the third time this year, I'm preaching on the subject regarding the heart. And the Merriam-Webster dictionary gives six definitions of the word heart. And numbers 4 and 5 are the emotional or moral as distinguished from the intellectual nature, such as a generous disposition, compassion. A leader with a heart is the example given. B, love and affection. Of course, we talk about when we're thinking about romance and he won her heart. C, courage. They never lost heart. They never gave up. And number 5 is one's innermost character, their feelings or inclinations. For example, he knew it in his heart. Or as God says in the Bible, a man after my own heart. And the Bible, as I've mentioned before, mentions the word heart 830 times, not only referring to the physical organ that beats in the chest of mankind, but to the emotional and spiritual as well. In fact, the vast majority of those times, it is referring to the emotional and the spiritual nature of mankind. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 15, is talking or teaching about what defiles a man. And in this verse, beginning with verse 10, it says, he called the multitude unto him and said unto them, hear and understand. You know, sometimes somebody's saying something and we hear, but we either don't pay attention, we don't really listen well, and we maybe don't understand. But he's saying, hear and understand. That which goeth into the mouth defileth not the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth the man. And I'm sure that all of us at some time or another have been around a person. They may have been well-dressed. They may have been a nice-looking person. They may have seemed to be well-educated. They may have seemed to be a good person. But then they opened their mouth and began to speak. And the words and what you begin to hear was vile. And then as you looked upon them, the fact that they were well-dressed, the fact that they may have been nice-looking, the fact that they may have appeared to be educated, those thoughts suddenly went away, and what you remember about them was the vileness, the corruption, the words that came out of their mouth. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, and I want to read this particular one from the Complete Jewish Bible. But what comes out of your mouth is actually coming from your heart. And that is what makes a person unclean. For out of the heart come forth wicked thoughts, murder, adultery, and other kinds of sexual immorality, theft, lies, slanders. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 goes on to say, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We bring out of our heart, not that physical organ, but our emotion, our spiritual nature, the things that define us, the things that will determine, as far as the world goes, whether we are a good person or a bad person. Now, how we speak as far as good things, and you know, you can be the best spoken person there is. Never say anything bad or wrong and do everything that's right. And I want to point that out. You can do all of those things. You can be one of the best people or persons that ever walks the face of planet Earth. But if you don't have Jesus dwelling in your heart, you're still lost. I want to set that straight in the beginning. Being a good person does not get you into heaven. That is not the way. That is not the key, because Jesus said that He was the only way that you could get in. But the evilness that comes out of our heart sets a person apart, though. And we look at them and we know. And there are some people that I'm sure that you know that you just really don't want to have a lot to do to because of what comes out of their heart. What's in your heart? Is there bitterness in your heart? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and anger and wrath, crying and evil speaking be put away with you with all maliciousness." Bitterness. There's a lot of bitter people out in the world. Think about it. Somebody wronged them at some point. And they may even say, "Well, I've gotten past that. I've forgiven him." But what comes out of the heart is still bitterness. It's still maliciousness in some cases towards another person. There's bitterness that can come out of the heart. Do you like to be around a bitter person? No? See, a few heads shaking, no. I don't know, maybe some of you do, but I don't. You know? I don't like to be around somebody that's bitter, because you know what? If you're around it long enough, it's going to start to rub off on you a little bit. I don't care who you are. Bitterness can come out of the heart. Anger comes out of the heart. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and anger," and those two go together, "and wrath, crying, and evil speaking be put away from you with all maliciousness." Maliciousness. Do you ever have somebody say something bad about you, and their sole purpose for saying something bad about you was to hurt you? Not only hurt you emotionally, but maybe, in a sense, bring about harm to you in your job or in a friendship that you might have or in something that you're doing. Speaking evil of you, trying to turn people against you. That's the thing that comes out of some people's heart. Some people just delight in seeing how much they can tear another person down and what they can speak evil of them. So there's hatred and there's anger. It says also that there's evil that's in the heart. Look around us today in the world. You see evil coming out of the heart of mankind. I think we see more evil today than any time in the past that I can remember taking place. I read every week of some person who kills their child. And I'm not talking about abortion here. I'm talking about somebody who's got a child that's been born, maybe several months to several years old. And because of the evil that resides in their heart, they end up killing that innocent child. Maybe beating them to death. Maybe starving them to death. Maybe because they're hooked on drugs and they're so out of their mind that they do things that they wouldn't a normal person wouldn't even think about doing. But evilness resides in the heart of man. If we don't have God in our heart, if we're not letting the Holy Spirit reign in our heart, we will let evil overtake us at times. You know, there's all the time the story of somebody and they've murdered somebody. And the neighbors are interviewed. Well, they were a good person. I never saw them do anything wrong. They were always polite. They always were kind. But evil is in the world today. And when evil gets into our heart and it begins to manifest itself, we will do unspeakable things because of evil that comes out. So there's bitterness, there's anger, there's evil, there's maliciousness. Some of the other things that there's wrath. That anger, I guess, goes with wrath. There's a lot of hatred out there today. Evilness that comes out that results in, you've probably all read in the paper or heard on the news of this new thing they've got called the knockout game. The knockout game. I'm walking down the street and I find somebody and just for the fun of it, bam, I knock them out, or at least try to. In a few cases it didn't work and it backfired on them. In one case I think the person got shot that tried it. But most of the time it's some teen or early 20s character who walks up to some older person and knocks them out because they know they're probably not going to be able to fight back. And I think in the one case, the older person was armed. You know? But that's evil. But that's what's rampant in the world because evil is manifest in the world today. My wife and I have talked a lot recently about when we were younger that some of the things that is so rampant today we never even hardly heard about. She was talking about while she was going through high school, she never heard about people being on drugs. She might have heard about somebody going out and getting drunk, and we're talking of younger people here, going out and getting drunk or something, but she never heard of them being on drugs. And I grew up in Southern California, and Southern California had drug activity, but we still didn't hear about it that much. All my time through school there, I don't know that I knew anybody particularly that was on drugs. I'll have to say if they were, they really were able to keep it secret. And today, all you got to do is walk down the street and you'll run into somebody. Because evil manifests itself in the world, manifests in the individual from the heart. Or is there some other things coming out of your heart? Is there joy in your heart? That's one of the things we need to have coming out of our heart is joy. Happiness. I know we've all run into some people that are just, you know, they're so happy and bubbly and joyful, you know, all the time. Sometimes you look up and say, how in the world can they be that happy? You know? But we need to have joy. There's a song that we used to sing, a chorus that we used to sing in church. I haven't heard it in a long time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If we got Jesus in our heart, we should have joy. But yet, some people who say they're Christians walk around and you thought their dog died, their cat died, their aunt and uncle died, grandma died, Plus, they found out instead of winning the lottery, they got a tax bill for $1 million. You know, gloom, despair, and misery on me. But we need to have joy coming forth out of our heart. Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10, he said unto them, go and eat of the fat and drink of the sweet and send part unto them for whom none is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Be ye not sorrow. Therefore, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's more than just a chorus. It's in the Word of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is there peace in your heart? Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall preserve your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace means you don't have to worry about everything. Does that mean you'll never worry? Most likely not. Well, you know, people will worry about some things. They'll be concerned. And I guess we need to distinguish there a little bit between worry and concern. We all have concern for certain things. We're not necessarily worried about them, but we may call it worry. But concern and worry are a little bit different. Worry is where you go around wringing your hands and all of that stuff and, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. That's different than having concern that something may or may not get done that needs to be done. We need to have joy. We need to have peace being manifest in our heart. And I think when we have peace in our heart, that peace will radiate from our being then as to what's in our heart. And people will see that we have that peace. The Bible tells us that we have something the world can't have in itself. It can't offer. The world can't offer us peace. I know there's an organization called Financial Peace, and a guy gives instructions on how to invest your money and so on. And I know one of the biggest things that people are concerned about and lack peace about is probably their finances. I worked in payroll for a number of years, and I worked in insurance claims for a few years, and I know one thing that can get people in a big uproar, and that's anything to do with their money, especially if it's their paycheck. Boy, if there is something wrong with their paycheck, they can get violent. But financial peace doesn't necessarily bring us peace. You can have millions of dollars and still not be at peace. There used to be a program on television years ago, and then it came back on for a little while called Dallas. And it's about these oil millionaires, you know. And I told Mary, I said, you know, I feel sorry for those poor folks. I said, they got all that money, and they've got no peace. They're battling with one another all the time, plotting and scheming and all of that stuff. So the money didn't bring them peace. So I'm sorry, Mr. Ramsey. Having your finances in order may bring you some sense of peace, but it's not going to bring the peace that Jesus gives. Forgiveness. Do we have forgiveness? Anybody here ever have somebody do you wrong? I think we all have at some point in our life. Somebody's done us wrong. Do you hold a grudge? Do you say, if I could get my hands on that dirty, rotten scoundrel, I'd teach them a lesson? That's the bitterness speaking if you said that. But forgiveness, where you can walk away and not let it ruin your life. There are people that have done me wrong in the past. I've had some preachers do me wrong. Really wrong. But today, if I were to walk up to them and see them somewhere, I could walk up to them, shake their hand, have a conversation with them. Now, I don't know that I'd necessarily want to be buddy-buddy with them anymore, but I've forgiven them for what they did. And I can be respectful. I can be at peace with it. Because you see, that's now between them and God. If I've forgiven, you have to let then God take care of that situation. Put it into God's hands. After all, the Bible tells us in the end, He's the judge, not us. Forgiveness. Mark 11:25 through 26 says, "But when you stand and pray, forgive, if you have anything against any man, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. For if you will not forgive, your Father, which is in heaven, will not pardon your trespasses." The Bible tells us we are to forgive. Are you serving God in your heart? Or are you just putting on a show? Think about that. There are some people that you can see in church on Sunday, and you can think, "Oh man, what a good Christian they are." But if you see them through the week outside of church, you wouldn't know that they'd ever darken the door of a church because of the way they act and carry on. I remember down in Trinidad, church that we ministered at there, that there was a lady that was in church. If I recall correctly, she was there every night that we were there. And she'd clap her hands when they sang, and she'd sing the songs. And just to look at her, you'd thought that she was a good spirit-filled Christian. The pastor told me she's got a devil in her. Said, "Every evangelist that comes here, she's like that. You would think that she's the best Christian in the world." Some people put on a show. And sometimes I think we, as we're serving God, need to check and say, "God, am I really living the life that I'm supposed to be living? Am I really serving you the way I'm supposed to serve you? Or am I just putting on a front? Am I putting on a show?" Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, and I want to point out something. How many disciples were there? And if you say 12 or 13, you're wrong. The word disciple, and I have to come with this Greek word here, mathetes or something like that, which means a learner or a pupil, a student. You, if you are a Christian, are a disciple. So there were millions more than the 12. Because there are disciples today. But here's what he's saying to the disciples, those that were gathered there, the 12 plus others. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "But why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I speak?" Oh, I serve God. And then you're out at the bar, or you're out cheating somebody, or you're out doing something that's ungodly. Is he really Lord? Are you just putting on a show or a front? Many say that they're Christians, but in their heart, via their mouth, and their actions. It betrays them. Being a Christian is more than just a label. I think I said it last week, and I've said it quite often. Sometimes I even hesitate about using the term Christian. Christian originally was meant to be Christ-like, is what the term means. But there are a lot of people that say they are a Christian who are far from being Christ-like. So I prefer to refer to them many times. If you are a true Christian, you are a born-again believer. You have Jesus in your heart. You are now in a relationship with God. I remember telling a young man a number of years ago who came to me and asked me about Christianity. Actually, he asked about my religion. And I said, I don't have religion. I have relationship. And if God is in our heart, then we have relationship. We're His child now. He's our Heavenly Father. You become a true Christian. Well, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, says this, "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart," pay attention now, "with from the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth man confesses to salvation." So you can speak with your mouth until the cows come home that you're a Christian. But if you're not in your heart, if you've not accepted in your heart what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, you can say you're a Christian all you want. And you'll be one of those standing there that Jesus or God says at that white throne judgment, "Sorry, I never knew you." Because saying you're a Christian never will get you to heaven. It's having Jesus in our heart that gets us there. Believing in our heart, "Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. And because of that, my sins are forgiven and I accept you as my Savior." That's what gets you into heaven, at the belief in the heart. Some people, and we've talked about this recently, some of us go down in large crusades maybe, and somebody that they went with, they went down just to make them feel good. And I've seen people go down to the altar just to make somebody they were with feel good. And they'll mumble a prayer or something, and they never hear anymore. Jesus has to be in our heart. He has to be in our heart. That's the only way to salvation. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you most of all for sending Jesus to die on the cross that I could have forgiveness of my sin. I give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Shalom and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.